When allegations surfaced of sexual harassment and even rape at the Aberdeen Proving Ground in Maryland, a number of Army bases revealed that they, too, have had incidents of sexual misconduct between trainees and their superiors. Commentator Rosemary Mariner is a captain in the Navy. She was the first woman in the military to fly tactical jet fighters. Captain Mariner says the whole issue here concerns accountability.
As a member of the first group of women trained as Navy pilots in 1973, a former squadron commander and a career naval officer, I have strong reactions to the allegations concerning sexual misconduct towards women in the Army's advanced training programs. Having spent my entire adult life in uniform, I also have perspective. And like most first females who pioneered non-traditional fields, I have my own share of horror stories. However, the pervasive nature of these charges surprised even me. As an active duty officer, I must point out that these are my personal opinions and do not represent the Department of Defense. It is also important to emphasize that the vast majority of uniformed men and women are honorable professionals who do their jobs as true teammates. My strongest reaction is as a professional naval officer who has held responsibility for the well-being and lives of young men and women under my command. What is the command climate and who is in charge? The problem of seniors abusing their authority over juniors is not new and not limited to women. The profession of arms has dealt with this issue for centuries, establishing strict taboos against fraternization. The central reason that relationships are restricted is the possibility of personal attachment overcoming professional detachment. In the military, seniors must give orders that can get juniors killed. Sexual exploitation by seniors is the equivalent of professional incest. This is why there is no such thing as consensual sex between a superior and a trainee. All of this goes back to the ancient military tradition of absolute responsibility, accountability, and commensurate authority. Commanders are responsible for everything and everybody in their command. The leadership precept that commanders must answer not only for what they do, but what they fail to do, is critical in preventing small problems from becoming mission-threatening conflicts. To uphold this tremendous responsibility, commanders are granted power almost without equal in the civilian world. Such authority is conditional. Simple loss of trust in the judgment of a commanding officer by his or her superiors is all that is required for removal. No legal or criminal charges are necessary. The check on commensurate authority is rigid vertical accountability, a military term that roughly translates as adult supervision, which means that those who command commanders must also answer for their subordinates' failures and exercise proper vigilance. If weapon systems were failing at the same rate as we read about serious personnel problems, we would be disciplining people at the top of the pyramid, not just the bottom. When an institution's most sacred taboos are violated, accountability resides at the highest levels of leadership. The Army must be allowed to do a comprehensive and fair investigation. However, if these widespread allegations prove true, then the real test will be what the Army does, not what it says. Yet another sexual harassment study is not the solution. Going back to 1960s-style gender segregation in the military is just plain silly and violates the principle of train as you fight. Top uniform and civilian leadership must accept their responsibility and return to the tradition of vertical accountability. For the real issue here is not women in the military, but the integrity and readiness of the armed forces.
Captain Rosemary Mariner is a professor of military strategy at the Naval War College in Washington, D.C.